The How Is This Movie podcast is supported by listeners just like you. Go to patreon.com/howisthismovie. There you can pledge as little as a dollar a month and help us maintain the goal of keeping this show fully independent and free of advertising. You will also gain instant access to bonus episodes not available anywhere else. Once again, that's patreon.com/howisthismovie. And now for our featured presentation.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed three innocent teenagers on a Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night. And has spent the last 40 years in captivity. Hello, Michael.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this special mini bonus episode of How Is This Movie? My name is Dana Buckler, and thank you for taking just a little time out of your day to listen. I am joined once again by my friend, screenwriter, and author Kelly Goodner, and I want to discuss with her 2018's Halloween. Kelly, welcome to How Is This Movie? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I just came out of seeing Halloween 2018 in IMAX, and I want to talk about it. But before I do that, let's bring the listeners a little bit up to speed on your thoughts on, we've talked, when we did our Nightmare on Elm Street conversation, we talked a little bit about the original Halloween. I don't think that's in dispute that it's a classic film. It's a great movie. So, you know, we don't really have to talk about that film, but I'd love to know your thoughts on the multitude of sequels and, you know, briefly your thoughts on the two Rob Zombie films before we talk about 2018's Halloween.
I saw the new Halloween a couple weeks ago. I saw it at an early screening of it, but I'm sure it will all come back to me in a second. Because right before I saw it, I rewatched the original. And then right after I saw it, I rewatched both of the Rob Zombie ones. So I'm pretty up to date on all those. But I really enjoy all of the Halloween movies. People really like to poo-poo, you know, this one or that one. And, you know, to me, they don't all have to be the original. I think that they actually stick to the basic concept of it's this guy in this mask who's killing people better than a lot of the other series that changed their tone so drastically. I mean, there are differences, but I think it's more of a cohesive series than a lot of the horror franchises.
Interesting. And what are your thoughts on the Rob Zombie films?
I love them. I underrated them at the time, I think. Rewatching them, I was thinking, like, he is such a good filmmaker. I think people, you know, if his taste is so strong, if it's not in line with yours, like the kind of gritty, white trashy, if we can say that nowadays, I don't know. If that is kind of like unappealing to you, it might be a hard thing to get over. But the actual just compositions and the filmmaking, what he, you know, how he knows how to do things with the camera, and he cares about his characters, and really thinks about, you know, the stories, and they're so like big, you know, they're 2-hour movies, you know, he thinks big. And I really like them.
I recently watched the director's cut of Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
And how long is that one?
I don't know how much longer it was, but I think it was, I'm just going to be completely honest, it was so brutal for me that I couldn't get through it.
Oh, no. And, I mean, they are.
And I remember seeing Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 in the theater. And, you know, you go see a Rob Zombie film, you know what you're going, you know what you're in for. The violence is going to be brutal. He's going to take the violent scenes, he's going to have them last probably 30 seconds longer than they should, in my opinion, in some cases, but that's the brutality of some of the violence he shows. But you know what to expect.
Yeah, I don't feel like I feel like he kind of gets at the emotion of it.
Yeah.
Like when Danielle Harris is killed, it's heartbreaking in both movies. I mean, she's almost killed in his first one, and then she is killed in the next one. Sorry if you haven't seen them.
Yep,
but it's very emotional. I mean, I feel like you feel like they're real people.
Yeah.
And you don't always feel that way in horror movies.
But I don't know with the director's cut, because I've got to rewatch the theatrical cut again, but I know the director's cut, it's just some of it was so just over the top that I was just like, okay, I can't take this. And that's not a knock on his filmmaking. That's just a knock on my personal preference. Yeah, it's
you have to take a few years off, I think, for sure, until you can watch him again.
So,
because we started doing a like a little marathon in the house. Halloween is what started it. Watched The Devil's Rejects, and then we had to take a break.
Yeah,
because it was a lot.
No,
but it's so fun too. Like his casting, every part is just filled out with, you know, all your favorite actors from classic TV shows and actors from other horror movies. I mean, there was a scene. It was like Clint Howard, Udo Kier, and Malcolm McDowell, and it was like, come on. I mean, that's a scene.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to ask you about a specific film, Halloween H2O, because it's important for people aren't aware. Halloween 2018.
Of how big Josh Hartnett was in the moment.
Yeah, he was everywhere at that time, from the faculty to everywhere.
I couldn't get enough. But I was who they were marketing to. Okay.
I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound crazy, but I thought he had really bad hair in the faculty, but that's
that was like, I think part of it was the bad hair. It was like his Jennifer Aniston, the Rachel or something.
Sure.
What a bizarre haircut. But I do think it kind of made him famous because it was weird.
So the 2018 Halloween, it instructs you to ignore every sequel in the Halloween franchise. And now, what's notable is that Halloween H2O was released 20 years after. It was the return of Jamie Lee Curtis. And that movie also told you to ignore, you know, I think everything beyond Halloween 2 at the time. So with that being said, what do you think of Halloween H2O? And then what were your thoughts on not the movie itself, but the pending release of this new Halloween and the idea that everything was retconned completely?
Well, I don't really like when they do that, I'll be honest, because I feel like I made an investment in learning all this other stuff, you know, and getting invested in this story and these characters. And now you can't try to tell me that these things didn't happen in their lives that I saw happen. But I think that's kind of the comic bookization of movies these days, because comic books do that kind of thing. And comic book movies are so popular now. So I think that's a very popular thing to do. Like, even when Wes Craven did New Nightmare, he just sort of like went to the side of it and said, you can keep all that, you know, I'm just going to do something different with like a slightly different universe that it's about the making of the movies. So you can keep all of your mythology. I don't really like when they get rid of all the mythology. However, I did, H2O was the first one I saw in the theater, and so I kind of liked it, and I like a Kevin Williamson, you know, movie in that moment. And I the only thing is that I really didn't like about this one is it, or the new one, is it's kind of marketing on, like, you know, Laurie Strode and Michael Myers together again. And I was like, I saw that. It was called H2O, and she decapitated him, you know? We've been through this. I'm still having a little bit of a hard time wrapping my head around that. And it was the same sort of thing. Like, now they're kind of making it be the big deal that she has PTSD, and we've never seen that before. But in H2O, she had a drinking problem. So I kind of feel like, you know, just conceptually, I have a few, you know, of those issues. And also, I don't like it being called Halloween, because it's not, I mean, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the film. And I want to start by saying that when I left the theater, I got in my car, I said to myself, this would have been the perfect sequel if 1978's Halloween existed and this was the only other film that came out.
This
was, because I thought the movie on a technical level looked great. I thought the soundtrack, which John Carpenter participated in, was amazing. And I just thought that this was,
and it played on some of the same things from the first one, like Laurie going to the dance, just that they talk about that, and the new one has a dance in it. I thought they worked really well together, but I agree, all the other ones do. It's a little extra to push them out of your mind.
And that was the most challenging thing for me about the movie, was that I was desensitized to Michael Myers by this point. Will you take 1978's Halloween? Loomis shoots him. He falls off. He's gone. We don't know anything about him. Now, to the credit of this new movie, and spoiler alert for people, the movie's been out for 2 weeks now. If you haven't seen it, stop listening. To the credit of this film, once again, you know, we don't know anything about Michael Myers. We don't know why he's doing what he's doing. And that's, I liked that about the first film, because it was very much, you know, this guy's just, you know, he's just pure evil. You know, I didn't like part six where they got super into the mythology of him. But again, the elephant in the room is the sequels. And yeah, it's really...
And I always enjoy mythology. I'm kind of a sucker for mythology. Right. I like an explanation. Like, I challenge you to provide an explanation. But yeah, that part was a little bit... H2O was honestly the biggest hurdle for me to get to this new movie, just because that was the reunion of the two. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be the end, you know, reunion of their story. And now you're asking me to be so excited because it's never been done before, but it was done before. That was and it was done well. I liked the new movie.
And that's,
it was just, as a fan, it was kind of hard to put that aside.
And to me, that's the most, and again, that's what's got me so frustrated. And I want to keep harping on it, is I don't want people out there to think that I didn't think this was a good movie. I thought it was a very good movie, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh, that babysitting sequence.
That was terrific.
It was so good.
And it was perfectly cast, and even the teenage characters, I thought they were all great.
I love them, and I love the kid, and also that, I don't want, like, for I don't know how much we can talk about exactly what happened, but the side of the road kind of sequence.
Well, we can just say spoilers, because this movie's made a ton of money, and I just think a lot of people have seen it. So please, by all means.
Well, the inmates on the side of the road, the bus, you know, wrecking the inmates on the side of the road, and the little kid, you know, with his gun. I loved that sequence.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like they took that one a step further than, you know, that's a play on the original where all the inmates have somehow gotten out, and that's, you know, Michael has escaped. And so, yeah, there were definitely some great sequences in it. You know, I don't know. But there were also some little conveniences that I didn't entirely buy. And it's kind of like with The Exorcist or something, you can just say these people are linked somehow, psychically or spiritually, and that's why they're just sort of like drawn to each other. But like how he just happened to be at like her best friend's house, and he happens to run into her granddaughter. And there were a lot of just happens to's.
Yeah, sure.
That everyone just happened to be in the right place with these exact people.
And let's be honest, the plot device that actually gets Michael to Laurie's compound, I thought that was a little bit interesting.
I did the podcast thing.
Well, no. I love the fact that it was two podcasters in the beginning.
I liked that.
I love that idea. And I'm thinking they must be very successful podcasters if they're able to just give $3,000 to Lori. Most people that are in the podcasting genre know that unless you're Joe Rogan or Serial, you're not making a lot of money doing it. So I thought, of course, that's the first thought that goes
travel,
in my mind.
Travel the world. Yeah. Sure.
That was the first thought that went in my mind as a podcaster. I was like, well, they must have a very successful show. So. Mm-hmm. But no, but what I was referring to was the plot device that got Michael Myers to Laurie's house was the doctor's, the you know, the double cross by his doctor.
Right. That one, I got this sense that there was probably more to that maybe got cut, you know, in editing or something. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if when that gets released, if there are deleted scenes or something, because it did feel truncated. I mean, when it happened, I'll tell you, my thought was, I'm willing to see where this goes. But then it didn't go that far. You know, I wasn't opposed to it just on principle, but it didn't add for me. It distracted a little bit, I'll be honest.
I gotcha. Yeah. So
that was the one part of the movie, because I actually liked all that stuff at the rest stop. Like, there were a bunch of set pieces that I really, really loved.
Yeah, I'm gonna in complete agreement with you that, you know, it was fun. It wasn't too long. You know, I think it clocked in at about an hour 42 or something like that. Like, it wasn't too long.
And it respected all the other movies. Like, watching the Rob Zombie ones again, there were a couple of things from there where I was like, oh, that was a little nod maybe to that. You know, I didn't feel like it disrespected anybody's you know, even though it was saying we're not going to pay attention to you, we're going to throw all of that out, I did feel like there were some little nods.
There was, and they weren't so blatant. Like when you watch something like Star Wars,
they weren't wink, wink, yeah, look
like,
to the
like,
camera,
like Rogue One, like with what Rogue One did. With, you know, there was all this fan service that was just strewn throughout the movie.
Right.
Well, this one was like,
this one, the knife thing. Are you one of these people that knows how much people talk about Laurie Strode letting go of the knife in the first one? That's some, you know, controversy that Jamie Lee Curtis thought she wouldn't do that. And, but John Carpenter wanted to use a certain shot of like a pullback shot where she does anyway. And, so in this one, like the daughter keeps holding the knife all through the end.
Yeah.
Like as kind of a, we've fixed it, you know.
And conveniently, and what I thought was interesting is, you know, they dressed up as Bonnie and Clyde. Mm-hmm. And so they did role reversals where she dressed up as Clyde, but by the time she had her hat and her tie off, she was in an outfit almost identical to what Jamie Lee Curtis was wearing in the original film.
Yeah.
And I thought like little things like that. And the scene, which is in the trailer where the two little kids, you know, bump into Michael Myers, mm-hmm. you know, one's holding a little boombox, just like in Halloween 2 when he bumps into Michael Myers. I saw those little things in the theater and I'm going, that's fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting that.
It makes you smile when you're watching a movie by somebody who knows what you're coming in with.
Yeah.
And respects it. It's a matter of respect. It's good manners, I think.
So just to wrap things up, because this was just a quick little, we were already talking, we were recording a previous episode, but I just wanted to get you on the record on this film. A couple things I want to just say before we just end this episode. One, I would certainly recommend this movie if anyone's looking to go see a horror film. You know, go have fun.
And great cinematography too. It's a good looking movie.
Yeah. Don't overthink the whole thing. That's my best advice. You know, just go in mm-hmm. and enjoy the film. Now here's where I'm gonna get a little negative, and that is I've already read that, you know, everyone involved, with the exception of maybe Jamie Lee Curtis, don't quote me, is already contractually obligated to do a sequel.
Mm.
And this movie made $80 million opening weekend domestically, which is just, mm-hmm. you know, that's blowing the roof off for this mm-hmm. type of film. In one weekend, it became the highest grossing Halloween movie in the franchise, which is incredible. But all that to me, what goodwill I feel David Gordon Green and everyone involved had will be thrown out the window mm-hmm. when they do a sequel.
Yeah.
Which they're going to do a sequel. And that's to me, that's the bummer.
Sophomore efforts, it's like, you know, the gloves are off usually.
And I don't think we're going to see this excitement unless they wait a long time to do this sequel. You
they
know,
won't. It'll probably be like next year.
I'll give a perfect example. When 2009's Friday the 13th remake came out,
mm-hmm.
that had a huge opening weekend because it had been, I think Jason X came out, or no, Freddy vs. Jason was 2003. So it had been like a 6-year gap since Friday the 13th had come out. Friday the 13th, it would have been a 9-year gap. And so people were hungry to see that. I think if you pump out a Halloween movie within 2 years, it's going to be too early.
Yeah. And I think too, it will be, I mean, who knows? It could be refreshing and freeing for them. But I mean, Force Awakens is kind of a good example of what this new Halloween was. It mm-hmm. was kind of like, you know, it's similar enough to the original and what you liked. But I think with a new one, they like, what will they use as a basis? It'll be a lot more invention, I think. And, you know, it'll be a little bit of a total new thing that won't have that built in nostalgia.
It's going to be the Last Jedi of horror movie sequels.
Yeah, I like the Last Jedi.
I know. I don't. I've made no related to her. I've made no qualms about the fact that I'm not a fan of that movie, but respect everyone involved that in the creative process, of course.
We'll see what happens, but I don't know.
All right.
I don't know where it will go. You know, when you've had the mythology made up and thrown out so many times, where do you go now?
Well, like I said, I think the only thing they can do is wait a few years, but I don't think they'll do that.
And he's been burned up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except for that last scene, spoiler alert, where they show a shot and you don't see him in there.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that's kind of like when I was doing Halloween for my book, that I guess is what I landed on for a theme, was that, you know, evil never dies, nor can it be understood. And so it's a little bit freeing that, like, well, you know, it's not going to make sense. He's just going to be back.
No, that's perfectly said. That's perfectly said. All right. Well, Kelly, thank you. I appreciate you taking just for listeners out there, we have recorded this. Ironically, this episode is going to come out before the main episode that you and I recorded. So we've been talking for a few hours, and I just definitely want to just get you on the record to talk about the new Halloween film, because it is featured in your book, which we're going to be talking about in great detail on Wednesday's episode, on the episode I'm doing on The Exorcist that will be released on Halloween. So, Kelly, yeah. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
And we'll talk soon.
I love talking horror with you.
Absolutely. We're going to do this again. So we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The How Is This Movie podcast is produced by Dana Buckler for Hidden Productions, located in Ocala, Florida. Please follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at How Is This Movie. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/How Is This Movie. Of course, you can always email the show with questions or comments at HITMpodcast@gmail.com. And finally, to become a monthly supporter of this podcast and gain instant access to bonus episodes not available anywhere else, go to patreon.com/How Is This Movie. You'll find all the links to our social media in this episode's show notes.